I am unashamed. What about you?
It's as cold as I've been in a long time, and it wasn't 40 degrees, but it was raining. The humidity, the wind was blowing 20 miles an hour.
In Louisiana, when you have moisture in the winter, even though the temp's not low, it is to the bone cold.
I got cold this morning, but we were killing ducks, and it was warming me up. And I drank all my coffee in like an hour, because I was like...
I had some extra. I don't know if you'd have wanted any of it.
Yeah. Did you have your butane going, Dad?
Oh, I had butane on one side and hot coffee on the other.
Well, here's what's funny. Yesterday, when it was 70 degrees, they still had the fire going.
Oh, yeah.
I was literally sweating.
Oh, man, you keep firing all the way to April. <That's funny. laughs> Remember Paul?
He kept
a fire going.
He would stop it in May, and he would pick it back up in September.
Yeah.
And I would say, Paul, it's 75 degrees today. You know, he had a fire going in there. He said, it's fall, son.
Yeah.
It was like, it didn't matter what the temperature was. It was like, it's fall, son.
That's it.
We build a fire around there is what we do. But you were killing ducks, Jay, so you're happy.
Yeah, the year's been pretty good. I mean, it was supposed to be raining, so we went to the rainy day hole, and it really didn't rain, but we still got them.
Yeah.
So everybody was happy. First 2 hours, nothing.
Not a doubt.
So y'all were thinking.
It just.
No, we were thinking they're coming.
I kept saying optimism. 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, optimism. 8 o'clock. But we had Phyllis's husband, Tony, the artist. Phil calls him the artist. He went as a
the artist formerly known as Tony.
As a conscientious objector. And he had
optimism
his camera.
Is a great tool to negate friction and problems.
That's
optimism.
True.
We'll keep you there, like, okay.
But there's a thin line. Every once in a while, Phil crosses the line of optimism into insanity. He's like, we ride it till dark, and they're coming. And I'm like,
they never come.
No, they're not coming.
And as soon as the legal shooting hours ends, my word is, they said, what about it now? We didn't get them. I said, you wait till in the morning, and you will be.
Yeah, the optimism never dies.
It never dies.
And
never
look,
dies.
We've
and
gone,
you gotta love it.
We've gone all the whole season. Phil said, they're coming. And look, when the last day came, I thought, well, now what is he going to do? Because we've got him in a box. He said, boy, next year, they're coming.
Wait till when you get a down year, boys, that next year.
Well, today, old Jace, to his credit, he stayed the course. You know, we started in early in the morning at 5:45 in the morning, whatever it was, legal shooting hours. And 20 minutes before the sun was completely gone, we finally scratched them out. A big bunch of bull sprigs coming out.
Oh, really?
That's about the happiest I've been
I knew you were happy to kill pintails. They're a rarity.
Pintails make me go crazy.
We had about 30 ducks, so I'm like, well, it's worth every bit of it. Just ride the thing out to daylight to dark.
Well, here's what's weird. Somehow that got out. I was at Duck Commander the other day. I stopped in there for something, and some guy's like, in the parking lot, Jay. I said, yeah. He said, how come you're obsessed with pintails? And I was looking around like,
are you a federal agent?
Word travels fast.
What are we doing here? You know. And I said, because we don't have any. And he said, what? And I just kept walking. But that's why.
Well,
I mean,
you've mentioned it on here before. He must be a blackhead. Yeah. You mentioned it one time because I can't remember. You told some story about
there's something. There's an elegance about pintail ducks that
they're beautiful.
None of the rest of them have.
That's right.
I think it's James 4 when it says what causes fights and quarrels among you. And he says you want something, but you don't get it.
Yeah.
There's something about human beings that they want something they can't have. So like me, the best eating duck to me is a gray-winged teal. So you say, well, that's your favorite. No. You say, oh, it's because of a mallard, the way he looks. You know, y'all have the most ducks we have are probably mallards and wood ducks.
Right.
And I'm like, no. Nope. I like the pintail. Why? Because we don't have pintails here. On this side of the river, in this part of the flyway. Now, across the river, they see them all the time.
Yeah.
They're like, well, why are you getting so excited about pintails? Well, look, my first trip to Canada.
Pintails don't like the woods, right? I mean,
well, right.
Typically.
They,
that's why
they
we
typically don't. And we
like
mainly have
open
woods.
Fields, right?
We have one hole that, even though it's surrounded by woods, it's big enough to I guess, qualify as a field. And the other day, and look, these pintails had never been here, because when we drive by for years, pintails don't get up here. They just travel over on their way from Canada to the coast. Well, these came from, you said they probably came from
the south, probably southwest Louisiana, Cameron Parish.
Yeah, they because there was a movement
from
the southwest.
It after a big rain, the sheet water had, it was on the farm fields. And
so they come up to eat.
These pintails come up to hit that sheet water, but we coaxed that bunch.
Here's what happened.
Down.
We saw a bunch earlier,
yep.
And nothing. We called. Everybody's, you know, good, not pintails. You know, they're migrators, reverse migration. So then we saw four. Way high. These are specks. Most people wouldn't even, they would think something was on their glasses. No, that's these are ducks flying a mile high.
So when you're trying to look for it,
So we blow, and look, they locked up. And, I mean, I was going crazy. I was like, oh, they're coming. They're coming straight down. Nobody move. They made about three or four passes, and they left. They went back north. And I was like, man, I don't have enough decoys out, which we have out every pintail decoy we own. Well, then this bunch, I look up. They came out of the southwest. We all start rolling. They did the thing. They start coming down. I'm like, they're coming. They make one pass, but this time when they came around fields in, they had dropped a tremendous amount of altitude. So then it occurred to me, we really may, this is happening. They're almost in
now
gunshot.
The people who are listening to Jace at this moment, they're thinking, these dudes are into these ducks, big time.
So they came out in front of me.
It's biblical. It's uplifting. It's a great way to be in a particular area for a lengthy time and no sins being committed.
That's true.
And look, so they come right to left. I knew there was a northeast wind strong because, I mean, we set up. But I'm thinking if they get past the northeast, and we happen to shoot them, the wind will actually, because what a duck does when you shoot at him is he flares up,
right?
Which actually is his demise. If they would just keep going, they would, a lot more of them would live to tell about it.
Because they're a lot harder to kill.
They flare up, and then the wind catches their wings, and that wind will push them toward you. So they actually went past us, and I thought, I think I can kill one. I wasn't trying. I was not thinking of my buddies. Because you can only shoot one legally.
I would say.
I'm fixed to kill one of those right now.
I would say they were at about 55 to 60.
55 to 60 yards, which is just my
game.
When
you started in them.
And I picked the biggest one out of the bunch.
How many was in the bunch?
I mean, was it like eight? Maybe 10 or 12. And I said, I'm getting that one. And so to their surprise, not the pintails, the blind, I said, kill them, because they weren't in front. Yeah. They were over here on my side.
So they might get something like, what's happening?
Well, what's weird, we had what? You know, it was
most of them were just going, what?
They were waving their guns around. Yeah. But they had time, because when I shot the first one, they come right back over. And look, we needed four ducks for the limit. There was four of us, and we everybody killed a bull spring.
Wow.
It looked like it was a genius call, but it was actually, I'm confessing right here, I was just trying to kill one. I didn't care about y'all. The wind pushed him over, and a pintail, he's not
greed
as
took greed.
Well, you said there was no sin in the blind. Now he got greed.
Well,
right?
I'm confessing. But I mean, it was, this is, wasn't really a sin. It was like a duck sin, you know, camaraderie. So
it worked out because everybody got
four, and we killed four drakes.
Yeah, and you finished a limit that way. I mean, that's
look. When I got home,
was high fiving on.
Yeah. Them. Oh, we were high fiving when I got home.
Jason, I tell you what, I don't care if I never kill another duck. That did it for me. That the
I
whole
said
year.
Another duck. This season.
This season.
Yeah, I'm good. Everything else is gravy.
Gravy.
So I get home, and Burley sends me, like, I would say 40 pictures. He got them and took various pictures of them in various positions. That's how fired up he was.
By the way, on your list of injuries, I ran a wood duck through the brush yesterday. Crippled wood duck. I said, I will get that duck. Didn't have a dog, so I tear out through the bushes. Now, this is a Band-Aid after a 2 24-hour periods. This is what you notice the color has changed. Now we have a dark, dark-looking color here. You say, that's grit, dirt, but you just wash the fire out of it when it happens. I was bleeding like a stuck pig. A limb went through my finger, and I just unhinged it. I got the woody. I was bleeding when I came back. And this is one day after if you know what we know, that's how you cure little scratches like that with the blood spurts. You little deal, that's where you end up. Usually during duck season, I've got one of these on both either hand sometimes.
Just
flesh tearing off.
I didn't ask
about
it because it's not your trigger finger. And yeah. I said,
no trigger finger, good shape.
But for me, I'm left-handed.
That would have been a problem.
It would have been
you
a
let
problem.
The Band-Aid
Is
literally.
It sore?
You give this time where the Band-Aid will literally rot off. Just rot. See right here, there's pieces coming off of it right now. Well, as soon as this rots off, however long that is, take the remainder of it, throw it in the trash can, and go with it.
I feel like we need some
soap, water, and Band-Aid on the end.
I feel like we need some subtitles here saying, Phil is not a registered medical professional. Do not try this at home. These are redneck professional remedies.
Soap, water, a covering, and let it rot off. Your finger be just as pretty as you
and hope your finger doesn't rot.
And I've done this thousands of times.
I don't know why the word rot has to be used. I don't.
Well, it begins to look. You see this?
But that, couldn't you just take it off?
That's
why
waterproof.
Why not just take it off?
No, you don't want to do that. You wait another 3, 4, 5 days and let this fall off. Any finger will be real good, but the bandaging will be gone.
It's all part of the process.
I'm trying to help our audience survive and with ailments, injuries.
This reminds me of your mom, my grandmother, when I asked for her roast recipe, and she said, start off with a red bowl. And I couldn't get past it. I said, or just any bowl. And she said, a red bowl.
Because that's the way she'd always done it.
That's the way you do it. When you, whatever you're fixing, red.
And Dad's pretty much that way, too. He must have got, that must have been where he got it from. Because he cooked he cooked one time at my house, and he was like, I need a spatula. I had a spatula. He said, nope, won't work. I was like, what's a spatula? Nope, you got to have one with a bigger, it was something, you know. And I was like, I'm looking around.
This is all I got.
That's what I got.
These are the utensils.
Won't work.
What would that be? A good chef never blames his culinary
equipment, yeah,
or tools.
And one of the things, Jay, is there's things you see you can't unsee in life. One of them for me was when a fire alarm went off in Scotland. We were filming for the show, and I walk out into the hall to figure out what's going on. I put a pair of shorts on, and there's Dad next door to me, and then Sal on the other side. They're in the hall. In their underwear.
Oh, boy.
Just looking around, because this thing is loud. You probably don't even remember it. And they look at me, and they said, what do we do? What's going on here? And I said, just go back inside and let me find out what's going on. And these people are down the hall. They're looking out there, these two old men. What I noticed is I never asked Dad about his underwear, but he had the tidy whities. And I thought, man, after all these years. Well, now we found one of my favorite sponsors on the podcast is a company called Tommy John. And Jason now can affirm, best underwear I've ever worn.
I agree.
So you would say that if I'd had the, what do you call them?
Tommy John's,
I at least would have been a better look.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I would recommend at this stage of your career and life to go anywhere
public
in your underwear, no matter what brand. However, think this will
that
bring.
You are correct. Yeah. That only happens if if that starts, you know, least, you're in a place you've never been before in your life.
At least you would have looked better with Tommy John's.
Comfort, bar none, this is an upgrade.
The best. So here's what you do. Go to TommyJohn.com/Phil. You're going to save 15%. 15% on your first order. Go to TommyJohn.com/Phil right now. Save some money and get some great underwear.
We're rocking along here. We are members of a constitutional republic called the United States of America, founded about 245-50 years ago. Pretty young.
Super.
I had a history professor. I said, you know what I want? Sandy, named Sandy, taught history in the university for years. I said, you've covered all these historical things. I said, what did you do when you came to Jesus? The historical figure, person, Jesus. I said, you can read about him, what he said.
He actually taught me history in college.
Yeah, what he said and what he did.
Yep.
Do you go through that, Sandy, with the university? He said, not allowed. So when he got to the period of time, 2,021 years ago, when God becomes flesh, four people write, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They said, we are eyewitnesses to this person. They talk about his birth. They talk about his ministry, how long he stayed, what he said, and what he did. They end up, all four of them say the same thing. He died on a cross. He said, for the sins of the world, he was buried, and 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. That's the story these four people told, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got four people listening to the same words,
yep,
and participating in what they saw, what they heard, and what they saw.
Right.
They all end up saying, he died, but he was buried and raised from the dead. I looked at a list when I asked the college professor, I want a list of all the previous empires up to this one. Because I'm looking at this one and I'm seeing a collapse beginning.
Correct.
I see the collapse of an empire. Am I dreaming? And after yesterday, they charged the Capitol building and that and all the rioting and looting and all this the last 6 months.
Yep.
Now we're looking at it and we're saying, okay, what's happening? You're seeing how an empire collapses.
Correct.
It rots from within. And I will say, after looking at the list of empires that have risen and fallen, I normally go back to the Babylonians, you know, then the Medes and Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans. Well, he had them all before and after, all of them listed. It was amazing to me how many of them fail. They all fail. They rise and mm-hmm. then they collapse. They rise. So you get to us and you say, well, are we any different? I think.
You would hope.
Just as a man on planet Earth, I think, based on my reading of the Bible and historical events, including the empire, the rise and fall of empires, it seems to me human beings and their view of God and the evil one, if that gets out of balance, we had it as a constitutional republic. We had it for, there was problems, but I'm looking at it now and I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to keep my faith. And the one Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talked about. I'm looking at the prophets who predicted all the things he would say, most of them, and what he did.
Right.
And I'm hearing what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John said. I'm going to focus on that as I go forward. Whoever runs the country, whatever we decide to do, we're leaning Marxist now, socialist. We're leaning that way. All those empires, they've risen and they fall. They've risen and they fall. So now I find myself watching an empire that I love, the United States of America. But my faith, Al, is not with man-made constructs.
Yeah.
My faith is in Jesus, the Son of God, and the account of what he did and what he's now doing and what he will do.
Yeah.
I'm going with that. And I'm not going to get a stick with a sign on it, and I'm not going to take off toward the Capitol. I'm not going to do it.
Or attack police.
I would just say, yeah, what are you going to do about it? I said, I'm going to keep my faith in Jesus because he removed my sin, and I'm guaranteed immortality based on what he did. He's now doing mediating for me. I'm not going to budge on that. All my energy is going to be there. I hate it for the country. Yep. It makes me sad to watch, but you say,
oh, I think
with you getting a stick running around with a sign on it, does you think that's going to help? It's my view and their view of how they either bow down to the God of heaven and the Son he sent by the power of the Spirit. It gets, in my mind, it's the only way to roll. Yep. Therefore, unless there's a mass repentance coming rather quickly, and instead of charging the White House, we need to become the people of God that yeah. he's designed us for, and let's get on about our business.
Well, that's me. I used to take consolation in the fact, even if the party that I voted for didn't win, I always used to say, well, at least we don't ride and do violence. It seems like the, you know, the party that I don't vote for does every time. And then I'm like, you know, here we are, the party that I voted for, they're doing the same thing. And it even started in the speeches and the rhetoric. I mean, they're mad, which is okay. You know, we lost. That's fine. Even if there was injustice done, okay, it happens. But when you start...
It's a sin-cursed world.
Yeah, I started noticing there was a lot of swearing, a lot of middle fingers, a lot of let's...
It got very coarse, very coarse.
Yeah, it got... And I'm like, I'm out on this.
Look, what if
you
know, everybody...
Life is how you respond to it.
What if everybody, Republican or Democrat or independent, what if everybody just said, wait a minute here. Why don't we all bow our knee and why don't we all go around loving the God of creation... believing what the Bible says, and loving our neighbor. How would you ever collapse?
You wouldn't. It would be fantastic. But unfortunately, as you said, sin-cursed world is what it is. And I was just amazed. I mean, I expected something like this to happen at some point because of what happened this summer. You just knew you could see it heading this direction
yep.
where it's going to be one side versus the other. And then you repeat the same thing. That's why, I mean, but I will tell you one difference. I watched the covers last night, mostly on Fox, but I did flip around to watch all of it. And it was interesting because almost every person, whether they're representative or whatever, it was Republican or right winger, they called it out for what it was. This is not right. We shouldn't be doing that. I'm ashamed. This is one of the worst days I've ever seen. Whereas the other way didn't happen that way. You had people just saying, oh, they're not really... It's mostly peaceful.
Yeah, well, to me, there's no defense.
At least they call yeah. it for what it is. That's the biggest difference is we recognize it. And, I mean, I was embarrassed.
To me, the hypocrisy of it all is if you have an electoral college system which has benefited the Republicans in the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trump didn't even win the popular vote.
Well, that's right. And the founders set it up that way.
Well, right.
To make everybody important. Hang on, Jason. Take a break.
So we're doing this movie this week while we're duck hunting, and they had an intern sound man, and he stuck the mic with a piece of tape on my chest, not on my shirt.
Ooh.
And I looked at him because once he did it, I thought, well, there's no turning back now.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't.
Yeah. When he came up to remove it, I said, let me tell you, are you an intern? He said, yes, sir. I said, you don't stick tape on hairy men. And he said, why not? I said, because those hairs, I wanted to keep those. So well, I thought I would share that for this.
Well, you know, that's a perfect thing for our ad, which is called Keeps, because men do want to keep their hair
yeah.
wherever it is, especially on top of your head. So here's what you do. Go to keeps.com. That's KEEPS.com. You're going to get 50% off your first order for all their hair loss treatments. So if you're losing your hair, keeps.com/door.
So what does that mean? That means it's state by state. If you want to fix that, if you say, okay, well, there was all this fraud, or well, you're going to have to fix that individually. You're not going to do anything by storming the Capitol. This is going to have to be each individual state.
That's right.
And that's how we do it in America. And you never say, guess what? Blunt force and trauma. Here it is. We're charging. That's how all these great nations in the past, they all rose and fall based on this physical altercation of this is not going to happen.
We've all seen them collapse.
Yeah.
We saw it when the wall fell, you know, and the communism just collapsed. We saw the whole thing right before our eyes, and it looks like what we're doing now.
Yeah. Well, that's me. I say character matters. It's no difference to me. You see the same thing at a lesser level in, you know, Little League baseball or whatever. Some guy's in his mind defending the kids, and he feels like there's something wrong, and all of a sudden he's gone haywire at an umpire who's making $25. And look, he's ready to beat this guy. Yeah, it happens every year. Look, they call the law. He's out here. He's gone to violence. You know, four-letter words, just goes off the rail. And then you're like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm defending these kids. I'm like, you're an idiot.
All you're doing is showing them how you should never act.
Things happen. People get it wrong.
There was a guy that was
someone says, what you're saying won't work. The biblical account won't work. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful.
Where's that at? Because I was looking for that.
I'm in Romans 12, verse 17.
Yeah, that's a very good verse.
Be careful, listen, to do what is right. Check this out. In the eyes of everybody, that's Democrat, Republican, Independent, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge. I could smell a twinge of revenge from watching the news media yesterday.
Yep.
Do not take revenge, my friends. Leave room for God's wrath. See, I believe if they everyone put their faith in God and repented of their wicked ways, and they bowed down to him and loved him and his son Jesus by the power of the Spirit, you would see from them the fruit of loving God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Someone says, you're an idiot for thinking like that. I'm like, are you telling me this won't work?
Well,
it will work.
But the world.
But they think we're a bunch of rednecks down here, you know, Bible thumpers.
Well, who knows what they think.
Dismiss us out of hand.
Yeah. I think they think those things, if you do those things, they think those are weaknesses. If they take that as a weakness. If you're gentle, they're like, oh, weak. If you're exercise self-control, because they're saying, oh, this is. Yeah. You know, we need to. Now's the time to fight.
We need to rat. Yeah. We need to shoot, loot, burn.
No, this is the time we're going to have to be people of character.
And the empires keep rising and they keep falling. And I'm looking at it now, Al. We're no different. It's happening to us now.
Well, Jace was right. It's not a.
There's a day of reckoning coming.
The attempt to fix it the way, I guess they were trying to fix this injustice, was not the way to do it.
What are you accomplishing?
Nothing, because who would want a precedent where an election didn't matter, then it just whoever was in charge said, here's the winner. I mean, that's what you would, that's why the founders.
But that's even all the details of this wasn't making sense. When they said, well, Pence needs to just say, no, the election does not, the results did not stand. I'm like, well, if that was possible, why wouldn't everybody, vice president, do that every 4 years?
Well, it would be the end of elections.
And look, some of these guys or gals, I don't know who was in, I hadn't watched the media. My wife was telling me about it. They just said, this is how we take back America. Well, that was the dumbest, most ungodly thing that you could do. And I think it was an embarrassment. It was one of the worst days in American history.
I've often said that it will not be, and it never has been, no matter what empire you're discussing, it never has been a government fix. Right. It's a spiritual fix, and America has missed it. And we've dumbed it down and ran God out of the news media, out of the school system, out of government. We've gotten rid of God, and now we're all going to do, make America great
again.
In general,
I do think there's some that are out there fighting for the cause the right way.
Well, I think a lot of people probably got swept up in that.
We should have paid careful attention to the second president of the United States when he said, I've read what James Madison now has put forth, the Constitution of the United States. It was written for a religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate for any other. Well, now, Al, we have the any other has stepped in, and they're like, we don't need that. So they pretty well have chunked the Constitution, and it was never meant to be for the ungodly, Al.
Yeah,
it was written for the godly.
Well, I agree, and you're right, Jace. The solution needs to be now is we need to fix the election issue in the state houses going for these next 4 years. It's fixable, absolutely.
You can't throw away character and morality and use violence.
Can't do it.
And just evil. It's evil behavior. And it's the very thing.
It's evil for evil. That's
what you were attacking the other side for about the riots over, can't even remember what they, over social injustice.
Right.
And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. This is social injustice.
Yeah, here's a little
mind. But now we're doing the same thing.
Yeah, here's a little mind twister. This is how 1 John chapter 2, verse 10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, neither is anyone who does not love his brother. Well, that's profound. Mm-hmm. Just do what's right and love your brother. You'll be okay. Whether you're a nation or whether you're a community or a small town or a big city, you just do what's right and you love your brother. Al, it's hiding in plain sight, right before their very eyes.
And I think it's important.
I'm ashamed of America, the way they operate.
I was embarrassed last night, too. Let's take another break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
Now, it reminds me, I'm a simplistic person. You know, I play a lot of cards. We talk about that. And y'all know I'm pretty good at it. Well, I've caught people cheating before in the game. I had two choices. In the Wild West, you got killed for that.
Yep.
I mean, this is real money. I see somebody cheat. Because if something doesn't make sense, there's usually a reason. And so I start watching this.
Now, Jace, by the way, it's not just with the card playing. It's with elections or anything else.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're surrounded, Jace, by a mighty horde of cheaters.
Yeah. Now, my point is how do I respond to that? Well, I'm using an illustration to something that's happened. Now, I'm mad because I'm like, I'm out playing you, and so you're going to cheat and try to win. I mean, that's, to me, in my world, about as sorry as it come. We're at a, buddy game, and you're dealing from under the deck. Now, I could do a couple of things. I could catch him, grab his hand, and cut off, two fingers. Well, everybody, you can't do that. Well, that's my point. How you respond, even when you're wrong, matters. So guess what I try to do? I just know he's cheating, and I try to win anyway.
Beat him even when he cheats.
I beat him. Look, there's nothing like taking a cheater's money.
I will finish my proposal up with this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. He just talked about the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. He's fixed a clean sweep the whole doggone bunch. All the empires are going to leave here. And it's not going to be man-made constructs that keeps you alive. Nope. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? So God's looking down, and Peter is telling you what's fixed to happen. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. It'll bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, the elements are melting the heat, but in keeping with his promise, here's where I'm camping out, ladies and gentlemen. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. All I want is to live and be at home in a world of righteousness. Everything reworked, a redo. The cosmos will be recreated, the earth with it, and you're like, and you'll live there forever and ever and ever and ever. Man-made governments, they cannot give us that, Al.
That's right.
They just can't do it.
Well, but
so,
but here we are.
I feel
Phil.
Sorry about it, but I'm not surprised that it happened because it's happened to everybody else who ever had a great nation.
But here
they
we
always,
are.
They all thought we'll be here forever. Well,
but I've noticed, I mean, look, the older we get, we tend to separate ourselves from our role as an American citizen because we're Jesus followers first.
Right.
But look, here's Peter written, what, a couple thousand years ago, and he addresses this. He says in chapter 2 and 13 of 1 Peter 1, he said, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king or the supreme authority or to governors who are sent
That's correct.
By him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. But here's the two verses I want to zero in on. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men.
That's right.
We've got a responsibility, to, no matter what happens.
That's right.
To do the right thing.
That is correct.
Then he says this. This is, to me, the key. Live as free men, which is what I love about America. They're one of the few countries that you can be free.
Yep.
Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil.
That's correct.
And I think you got a lot of that going on in this situation.
You can't charge against the largest standing structure, the epitome, the capital, and with all that goes on there, where all the laws are made and passed, and there the Supreme Court.
Because he said you have to distinguish between what is good and evil. And so, and then to your point, it says, live as servants of God. Even that's our bigger motivation inside being an American citizen. And then it says this. Show proper respect to those on your side. It doesn't say that. Look, it says show proper respect to everyone.
That's why when I had three conversations with Donald J. Trump, I pointed him to Jesus, Al, all three times. I said, this is the way. This is the way right here.
But
this
by
is,
doing
he,
that,
he is the way.
But by doing that, you're giving him a compass, which we had a viewer's question I think we were going to get to at some point. And, you know, the subject, you sent it to me, it just said compass. And it was the same point you're saying. You're like, well, why would you share Jesus to a guy who's leading a free nation? Because of the text that I just read means more.
That's right.
When you understand the creator of the universe on what, when we say character matters, well, look at what happened to Jesus. You couldn't be done any more wrong than he was done. He was the only true innocent adult.
And his final words were, forgive them.
Yeah.
Forgive
but think
them.
About this, Phil. He was the only innocent adult that's ever been capital
executed.
And you said, well, wait a minute. There's some people they might have got wrong. Yeah, but he was innocent of anything.
That's correct.
So that shouldn't have happened. And how did he respond? He responded in character and in love.
Yep.
And you said, well, it just ain't right. That's why you have paragraph after paragraph that says leave room for God's wrath. You read that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to get done
you
wrong.
You can't stop violence with violence.
No, nope.
It just won't work. It never has.
I get mad.
It winds up leaving a lot of
We're blood. Operating now like a third world country that you see how they collapse. We're looking at ourselves and we're like, what in the world?
Yeah. Oh, when I saw that, I was like, what are we? Venezuela? Sorry, Venezuela, but dang. You know, what are we doing
here? I
kept
hearing Banana Republic. Let's take one last break. Well, I think it does, and just to wrap this conversation, I think it shows the importance of what we've been talking about for the last year, that the kingdom of God is where we have to be rooted in.
That is correct.
Where, that means wherever you're at in the world, because, you know, the Great Commission, which leads us into the into our Acts study, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he's authorizing to do what? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.
More powerful than any government construct.
That's all nations.
Yeah.
Us.
All
the,
of them.
The Brits, the whoever.
All of them.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always to the end of the age. So at the end of the day, that's the marching order.
Unless we get back to Jesus, it's going to collapse like all the rest of
them. Because why?
It's on its way.
The only way to do spiritual war and not try to overtake people physically, because that's what happened. Oh, we're going to take you by force. No, you're not. I mean, that lasted, even though as bad as it was.
A few hours.
I don't even know if it lasted that long.
It was 2 or 3 hours, but it wasn't long. You're
right. It wasn't long. Because that is a losing proposition anyway.
Right.
But the more important matter is the only way to change people truly is from the inside out. That's why I connected the profanity and the middle fingers and the rage that led up to this moment. Well, you can see the warning signs right there. This has gone off the righteous being into something that's unrighteous.
Right.
You could just see.
Yeah.
And you know, once again, Missy was just telling me that. She was like, I was watching this speech saying, wait a minute here. Because she's like, this is who I voted for. But I'm
not on board with that.
I'm not a, you know, they started chanting BS and stuff like that. She's, you know, my wife, she would never do that. And it's not the way to win the war. You have to do it from the inside out. Well, fortunate for us, we know that Jesus changes people's hearts and minds.
You're correct.
And soul. And if you really want to make change happen, you're going to do it one at a time. You're going to do it like these conversations we had with this camera crew that came through here.
That's right.
They were young bucks full of, you know, life and vigor, and we're going to take the top of the mountain and be wealthy and control the world. And we started asking about their lives and having conversation about what's going on in here and introducing Jesus to them, because I know that's what will change the heart. That's what gives you this humility and
I've
this
peace.
I've
said this thousands of times, Al. Look, where the Jesus rate is low, the crime rate is always high.
It's true.
Where the Jesus rate is high, the crime rate is real low. It's that simple.
Yep. I agree. And it's why it's how you have to change people from the inside out.
Yep.
So just to introduce it in our last few minutes here, we're going to shift out of John to the book of Acts because, you know, I thought it was important. We've been talking so much about the disciples, what they learned about Jesus, and the Acts really shows you them putting that into practice. I mean, it really is some powerful, really eyewitness stories. And of course, the Great Commission that I read a minute ago out of Matthew 28 was where they're up on the mountain. He's about to do the flyaway.
And by the way, through all of this, and you'll see it pop up one time, they were operating the kingdom of God within the confines of the Roman Empire.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
You say, they pull this thing off, Al, and what's what we're trying to tell people, how did this group of individuals... And not but about 120 that were there on the day of Pentecost when Luke wrote about Jesus descending from the earth and ascending from the earth and leaving, going back to the Father. And then you see these 12, 15 people, the apostles, they turn into 3,000 in the book of Acts, you say, and it started growing. And now worldwide, it's the only thing that's kept this whole world into check at all.
Well, and one of the things I was going to mention, I didn't read it a minute ago in Matthew, but it said they worshiped him. And then it said, but some still doubted, which I thought was interesting. And then when you get to Acts chapter 1, they ask him, and this is the moment, they said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? And so it's really interesting that even at the end, they were still having trouble grappling.
But that's our whole point of what we talked about exactly. in the country. Look, they kept thinking this was a physical takeover.
That's right.
What's his strategy? What's his plan? I mean, because right now he's homeless,
and that big
and he
temple,
doesn't have anything.
And that big temple where the law of Moses were being performed had been that way for 1,500 years. That big temple, they never dreamed or understood when Jesus said, not one stone will be left on top of another. It's coming down.
Yeah.
They're like, do what? You're gonna tear that? It took 46
years.
Well,
they didn't believe him.
They didn't believe him.
But look, here's what I'm saying. After they saw the resurrection, they thought, oh, I see how we're going to win. This guy can't die.
That's right.
We don't need no weapons.
Remember,
by the way, government, the United States, other constructs and all this, you say, that's the reason what you just said. Can't kill him.
This was the original say hello to my little friend. This guy can't die.
If you remember when he was at the temple and he said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll just raise it back up. Well, they were looking at the big structure and they thought,
well, of
three
course.
Days, how's he going to do
well,
that?
Well, how would you know he was talking about it? Says that. It
yeah,
says
they, later, it says later they remembered that he said it once he was raised.
But Al, now flipping to the religious world, because it's the same thing going on. They kept thinking we have to overtake the government. That's what the disciples were saying, to be in charge. And he's like, oh, no, my government is bigger than this.
Which, by the way,
I mean, he didn't say that exactly, but you see my point.
That was the argument of the religious leaders to Pilate, remember? They said, well, he's putting himself above Caesar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so he was trying to appeal to him at a political level.
I wish he would have just stopped and said, no, let me just clarify. You're down here.
That's right.
He's up here.
That's
he's
right.
not just putting like right above. He's way.
I'll tell y'all one thing. I'm 74, but boy, am I ever thankful and happy, Al, to know that I belong to the God of the creation of the cosmos. I'm just glad I'm here. Under his care, I'm like, God, I'm looking at what America's going through. I'm like, these poor souls, they just don't get it.
Yeah.
So
well,
look, here's the charge. Can I give a charge?
Give a charge.
Yeah,
you got 1 minute.
I'm
going to
give a charge in a minute. If you're all upset about the election, about where the country is headed, you need to come join us in our pursuit of the ultimate king, Jesus, who is indestructible. They won't be taking him out. Because we got a place that's bigger than this,
yep,
a heavenly home. And so, sure, we'll do what we can to make this country great. But if you want to change hearts and minds and souls and eternal destinies, this is a way more adventurous ride.
It is.
I like that. And that's what I'm calling this
good show,
segment,
Jace.
The Unstoppable Adventure.
By the way, I'm glad.
Unstoppable Adventure.
The second thing I'm glad of is we have four in all, five now with Phyllis. But I am I'm honored to be you guys, your dad. Mm-hmm. Y'all have made me proud. You really have.
And it's an honor for us to get to study the Bible together and do what we do here. What
How
a blessing.
Cool is this?
It's pretty cool. All right, so hang in there, Unashamed Nation. It's going to be all right. Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.